You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In her latest novel, Julia Otsuka tells the story of the Japanese picture brides who arrived in the United States in the early 20th century and follows them as they meet their husbands, try to get their bearings in a new country, work, settle down, and have children. And then their lives are turned upside down again after the attack on Pearl Harbor. The Buddha in the Attic is published by Knopf. I'm very pleased that it brings Julia Otsuka back to our show today. Hello.
So good to be back. Thank you.
Did many Japanese picture brides come to the United States in the early 20th century?
Thousands. More than 30,000 came between 1909 and 1920.
30,000. This is at a time when the Chinese were being prevented from coming into
That's
the
why
country.
The Japanese were needed as cheap labor, actually, the men to replace the Chinese.
And were the men who sent for them all Japanese?
They were, and by law, they were not allowed to marry. If you married a white woman, that woman would lose her citizenship, so there was no one there for them to marry, so they would arrange to have these brides sent over from Japan.
They were faced with anti-miscegnation?
Yes, they were. Yep.
Wow. Were picture brides the same thing as mail-order brides?
No. In Japan, it was very traditional to have arranged marriages. So in that sense, it really wasn't a foreign practice for them. But these women exchanged photographs and letters with their future husbands.
Although this is not exactly the same thing as an arranged marriage. In an arranged marriage, the parents meet, all sorts of other things. There are often investigations into people's pasts. None of that happened here.
No, there would be a matchmaker who might speak to the parents and know a little bit about the future husband.
Well, who became picture brides? Were they usually poor?
They were Japan at that time was a very, very poor country anyway, so most of them were very poor girls from rural villages who had heard about the good life in America.
So this wasn't a matter of them being facing a really dire alternative in Japan. It's just that they saw America as the place where the land of milk and honey?
Well, I mean, dire meaning hunger is pretty dire. And some
were
of them,
they unlikely to find a husband in Japan?
There were a lot of men had left already, had emigrated to Manchuria or to the West Coast. And conditions were not good, especially for women.
So was becoming a geisha or something like that one of the only alternatives?
That would be a possibility, especially if your father was very poor and needed money.
How much did they know about their new husbands when they got married? Did they know what they looked like?
They had photographs, but often the photographs have been retouched or were 20 years old or were photographs of the husband's handsome young friend.
Were they given any information of what awaited them in the United States, American customs?
There were pamphlets, actually, that were distributed after a while, but most of the information I think that they had was wrong, and what they had received in letters from their husbands, I think, was just kind of a fantasy version of how good America was. But I think they were very, very shocked by the conditions that they found when they finally arrived.
Well, they were not coming into the best circumstances. There was a different America, but they were unlikely to be able to experience that. This book begins in the early 20th century and continues until they leave for the internment camps, which you wrote about in your last novel, When the Emperor Was Divine. Did your thinking about this novel grow out of that one?
Actually, the last chapter of this new novel, I feel like was a piece of unfinished business from the first book. I always wondered what if you were a white citizen in a town right after the Japanese had left, what would you think? I knew the ending, I think, starting the new novel right away, but I didn't know exactly how it would get there.
Well, how much did you know about these women? Are picture brides among the lesser-known aspects of Japanese-American culture?
I personally didn't know very much about them at all, but it's a very common first-generation story. So many people's grandmothers came over as picture brides, but I had to do a lot of research. It was all very, very new and fascinating for me.
You've written it in the first-person plural, the we.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to tell a story that way?
Oh, I tried writing it from the point of view of one picture bride, and I was just stumbling around for months and months and months. And then I was just going over my notes, and I saw this line just jumped out at me, which was, "On the boat, we were mostly virgins," which is now the first line of the novel. But as soon as I saw that line, I thought, aha, that would be a good voice to tell this story. And because I had run across so many fascinating stories in my research, I wanted to weave them all in.
Well, it's also a way of underlining the commonalities of their experiences, but then of revealing the differences.
Yeah, It's a great and very fun voice to use, and you have these surfacing eyes throughout, so you can just hear a snippet of one person's story here or there.
Well, does writing in the first person plural also allow you to highlight how people can respond differently to the same kind of situation?
Yeah, I wanted to make it clear that there were typical experiences, but there were also, you know, people have very, very different lives. Some people have very, actually good lives, but many did not. But I think that they suffered in a variety of ways.
Well, critics have praised your style in this book as bordering on the poetic. Do you think that grows out of this approach?
No, I don't know why. I mean, when I write, I'm really focused on sentences and just trying to create a scene. So I just write, you know, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, but I don't intend to be poetic. I think it just comes out that way.
Well, you were a painter first, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking about a great Japanese writer, Kawabata, who started as a painter and who also wrote in gorgeous poetic prose. I wonder if there you see some kind of link.
I think my training as a painter prepared me to be a writer. Just the discipline of going to the studio every day, and you know this, right? Because you're a painter also, but you just
a former
painter myself as well. But you sketch out a scene very loosely, and you bring up the details. And I feel like writing is very similar. You sketch out a paragraph loosely, and you bring it up slowly into focus.
And then the details become more and more important as you work on them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've divided the novel into 8 sections. Are they the 8 most common experiences that most of these women had?
I think they're the 8 pivotal experiences. I think of each chapter as kind of being like an exploded moment. I just focus on something that's very, very intense, and I leave out all the stuff in between.
Well, the lives of these women are very tough. Many of them end mm-hmm. up laboring in the fields, growing and picking produce. Others are in domestic service, become merchants. Some become prostitutes. Was it an improvement over what their lives would have been like if they'd remained in Japan?
No, actually, I think it was probably their lives in America were more difficult.
They also, the wives of the farmers, I think, would have been particularly isolated, because even if you're kind of isolated in a farm in Japan, you still have the local community.
They were, and often, I mean, there was no neighbor for miles, so they were just isolated with their husband, the two of them working the land alone and nobody else.
And yet these women don't really complain.
No, it's very Japanese, I think, just to kind of soldier on.
And endure their pain and disappointment in silence?
Yes. I think that was really ingrained into them.
Well, some of them, of course, did have happy marriages, just as arranged marriages sometimes mm-hmm. turn out to be disasters, mm-hmm. but often turn out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. No, some of them did. And most of them had very large families, which I think brought them pleasure in a very different way as well.
My guest is Julie Otsuka. Her latest book, The Buddha in the Attic, published by Knopf. You write that these women learned the things that they really needed to know most from American women. Was that part of an assimilation process, or could these women ever become totally assimilated?
I don't think they ever could, but I think the ones who worked as domestics, as maids, learned a lot from watching their mistresses.
But even before they have children, many of these women seem to give up parts of their Japanese culture. They stop wearing their kimonos. They pack away their calligraphy brushes. Was that because of the pressure to assimilate, or were their lives just so different that they had no choice?
Well, most of them, I think, didn't have time to practice their calligraphy or even often to learn English. So I think many of them remain utterly foreign to the end of their lives.
And then they have kids who adopt American names, speak English, mm-hmm. don't speak Japanese, disdain their parents' Japanese customs. But I would think that was fairly common among all immigrants.
I think so as well, yeah.
But in this case, given how much these women go through, it's almost tragic. They have these children who become very important to them, and then their children reject them for being Japanese.
And then they're sent away, so yeah.
You write about the fear that quickly spreads through the Japanese community of being suspected, questioned, and detained after Pearl Harbor. Do you see some similarities with what happened to Muslims after 9/11?
Definitely. And I finished my first novel in June of 2001, so I had no idea that it would reverberate in the way that it has. But I think that there are, I mean, many, many similarities. Muslims, I think, have just become the other overnight.
Were you thinking about that while you were writing this?
Not the first book, but the second one, I mean, yes, I was writing with that knowledge in my head.
And here there are fears of being on a list that no one is sure exists. Men are detained or disappear altogether. Farmers are harassed. Were the rumors throughout the Japanese-American community flying wildly?
Oh, yes, they were. Yeah, minute by minute, I think. People were terrified and often had suitcases ready by the door in case their husbands were taken away.
And as I said earlier, your first novel was about a family that was in an internment camp. Were you thinking about one of these families being that family?
Yes, they could have been one of many families, and I think that the experience of the family in the first book was a common experience that many families went through.
The lives of the women in this novel are bookended by two departures, one for America and then the one for the internment camps. Were they equally destabilizing for most of them?
I would say yes, but I think the second departure was probably much more traumatic because they really had no idea where they were being sent or what their fate was.
And also because I guess if they had gotten into more comfortable situations over the years, and now they found themselves having to worry about what the future held.
Right. I mean, they lost everything. And at least when they were departing for America, at least they left, I think, on a moment of hope.
The women in this book, as I said, are marrying strangers. Many of them have terrible marriages, although some of them turn out pretty well. Does the dynamic between these men and their wives change over the years? I mean, is it all that different from the kind of arranged marriage that would have occurred in India or Japan or
No, and I think that generation actually remained more Japanese maybe than the generation in Japan. I mean, I think they retained a lot of very old-fashioned Japanese values and that the men did expect their wives to be very subservient.
The first novel was about a particular family in the internment camp, and this novel is about a collective experience of the years leading up to it. Did you feel that telling just the story of one picture bride might not have been enough?
Yes, I felt I wanted to tell everyone's story. And there were so many fascinating stories that I found in my research, so I wanted to tell them all.
You didn't find this in your own family history, did you?
Picture brides? Mm. No. My grandmother, she was the daughter of a Methodist minister who came over, and she came over with him and then bolted. She was supposed to not marry and take care of him till the end of his life, but she arranged a whirlwind marriage and never went back to Japan.
Julia Otsuka's latest novel is called The Buddha in the Attic. It's published by Knopp. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much, Leonard. It was a pleasure.